WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot.
Most of our TSA employees are working without pay.
And Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem is hoping airport travelers hear her message of blame.
Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government. And because of this, many of our operations are impacted.
A video for the nation's airports featuring DHS Secretary Kristi Noem blaming Democrats for the gridlock. But major hubs are refusing to play it, citing the video's blatant political message.
ABC's Gio Benitez. Agents tear-gassed protesters at a car crash in Chicago. ICE agents chasing an undocumented immigrant who tried to get away.
Residents nearby gathering at the scene. The crowd growing hostile, throwing eggs at federal agents, then rocks. Agents responding by firing tear gas. Several people were arrested.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio, Los Angeles, now issuing a state of emergency to help people who encounter ICE agents. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents to be on the lookout for deer at this time of year. According to a press release, drivers are at a greater risk of crashing into a deer in October and November as hunting seasons get underway and the hours of daylight decreases. There were over 17,000 crashes involving deer last year, about a third of which occurred in October and November. St. Croix County in the northwest Wisconsin region also saw the third highest total of deer-related crashes last year, with nearly 800. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is reminding residents to get caught up on their utility bills before the winter heating moratorium begins. Each year from November 1st to April 15th, utility companies are prohibited from disconnecting heating services for non-payment. They are not, however, required to restart services for residents who have fallen behind on their bills. Residents with outstanding utility bills should contact their providers to make payment arrangements or apply for financial assistance before the winter moratorium begins. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking public input on its North Central Forest Draft Regional Master Plan and Environmental Analysis. According to a press release, the North Central Forest ecological landscape covers around 95,000 square miles, including portions of Sawyer, Rusk, Douglas, Washburn, and Barron counties. The master plan is meant to guide resource management and recreation opportunities in the region. Public comments on the draft plan will be accepted until December 7th. The case against a 13-year-old Superior boy accused of shooting at deputies will proceed in adult court following a judge's ruling on Friday. According to court documents, the juvenile suspect allegedly fired at least four shots at deputies responding to the town of Superior home in May. The boy's facing multiple felony charges, including first-degree intentional homicide. Authorities say the boy's grandmother called them after he used gas to start a fire next to a tree, and he threatened to shoot the responding deputy before retrieving a long gun from the home. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers head to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, Game 3 of the NLCS. Tomorrow evening at 5:08 between the Brewers and Dodgers. The crew losing last night's game 5-1. Do the Brewers need to improve their focus? Pitcher Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, we have to, 100%. It's not fun to be 0-2, you know, going to L.A. I think we have to turn the page and try to come back in Los Angeles.
The Brewers have only 2 runs on 5 hits for the series so far. They've struck out 15 times. Pat Murphy.
You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Thunder, 116-112 at Fiserv Forum in their final preseason game.
Again, it wasn't our best basketball game, but offensively, we were really good. If we can play the same type of offense that we played tonight, you know, we're going to be pretty happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies and cool today with highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, a few showers possible after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s. On Thursday, showers likely, a rumble of thunder possible as well, with highs in the lower 60s. Currently, it's 44.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, TV host, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Then Tim Sowers from the Overture Center joins me to light it up.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Reminding you that you can get our daily newsletter. Go to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up in the top banner. Good morning. Nice to have you back here up north. On this Wednesday morning, it's October 15th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Earl Ingram standing by in Milwaukee. Later this hour, we will be talking to the national president of Protect Our Care, Leslie Dock, about what is really at stake in this government shutdown. We'll also have Melissa Baldoff talking about our weekly climate check update, including the ways that in this shutdown, the Trump administration has been cherry picking the way that it ends funding for projects, making a nakedly political partisan axe to projects that are in blue states as opposed to red states. And again, that's not something that happened before, and it's not something we're supposed to be normalizing. That's the kind of thing that authoritarians do. It's why there's going to be a whole lot of marches and rallies across the country on Saturday called No Kings Rally. And those No Kings rallies number at least 85 in Wisconsin so far. And Earl Ingram is going to be emceeing the one in Milwaukee at the Cathedral Square Saturday morning, 11 a.m. And Earl joins us now. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Tell me more about this. You're going to have a few friends and neighbors down there at Cathedral Square on Saturday.
Well, you know, I have to tell you honestly, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the first one of those rallies, and later on I found out that there was 8,000 people, which is that's a pretty good crowd,
yeah,
in Milwaukee. But when I started realizing that this was happening in other places across the world, but especially in Milwaukee, I really became, you know, kind of like a sponge and looking and trying to find out, you know, what this actually was and why it's happening. And then I got an email that asked me if I would be willing to do this. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, Pat, I'm honored, excuse me, because I'm from the civil rights era. And this harkens back to that time. We're in an environment where politicians, in my opinion, won't be able to fix what is happening in this nation, and that it's incumbent upon the people of this country to force our nation to correct itself.
Yeah, and we've got, of course, it looks like it's going to be very well attended. It's going to be very effective at helping shape public opinion that we know what this administration is trying to do. And we know that this must be the case because the administration is already basically making up stuff about it. You had Sean Duffy and other members of the administration out there saying, well, these are all paid agitators. This is all Antifa, whatever the heck that's supposed to be. The fact that they're feeling the need to do this early says they know this is going to be a big deal come Saturday.
You know, Pat, early on this year, there were rallies in Racine that I got a chance to kind of emcee the first one in Racine, and then in Menominee Falls here outside of Milwaukee. And I can tell you, Pat, that over 95% of the attendees were elderly people, 70s and 80s, and that's who they were. And so, you know, when you have rallies that have seniors who are, you know, at the apex and the forefront of them, that's telling you something. With what I understand with what's going to be taking place on Saturday, it's young people, it's the elderly, it's unions, it's you know, different religion, it's the entire human family, it's the American people who have gathered. And, you know, it doesn't matter how they try to slant it. At the root of it is suburban people, rural people, urban people. It's the American populace that is organizing and that is trying to bring a message that they're just not satisfied. And as you well know, Pat, for those people who struggle, for those people who are concerned about health, can you imagine not being able in the wealthiest nation on earth to afford health care? But at the root of it is those things.
No, yes. And it's not, you know, I'm already seeing comments like, oh, this is just a bunch of retired government workers. No, go actually talk to the people who are there. And by the way, this isn't like some Milwaukee thing and some Madison thing and all the college towns, you know, Eau Claire will have one. Again, there's 85 of them. I'm going to try to read a bunch of them in our last segment at just after 8:50 this morning. But if I can just say around the Milwaukee area, folks who can't get there, the sites include Conemaugh, Cedarburg, Brookfield, Muskego, Union Grove, Kenosha, Racine, Mount Pleasant, and Waukesha itself. There are people in all of these communities and dozens more who want to put themselves on the record as being opposed to what is going on right now.
You know, Pat, with that list you just, you know, ran down, anybody who can say that this is something, this is, you know, paid agitators, have really missed the mark. And as you stated, they're saying these things because they know at the root of it is a disgruntled populace of this nation who see their futures before their eyes and their grandchildren dissipating. And so they clearly are sending a message. I can't remember the last time, Pat, in this nation that a group of people as diverse as this were organized in sending these messages. And it's not anything that's being put in place by politicians. There aren't going to be politicians with the microphones.
No, this is as organic as it gets with real folks talking about real experiences and real concerns going on with this administration. And so as we let's pivot here and talk about, you know, part of the dissatisfaction with the economy is that people feel like they have less control over it, not just themselves personally, but in their communities. And let's take, for example, the financial sector. And we're so used to the big conglomerates, you know, the city banks and all that out there, that we forget the power of hometown banks and lending institutions, and frankly, banks that are, you know, owned or run by members of your local community. And you've noticed a very troubling trend when it comes to Black-owned banks in the country.
Well, you know, as a young boy in the city of Milwaukee, there were four Black banks as I was coming up. And those banks, you know, we had a pass in this nation that was not so fair and equitable. And so those banks offered opportunities for the American dream for people of color. most of those banks are all gone. I think in the city of Milwaukee, I don't even think there's one left. And so, you know, I talked with a gentleman in North Carolina who is the CEO and president of the second oldest black bank in the nation. And he pointed out some things that are pretty alarming to me, but things that, you know, if you really gave it some thought, you would realize that at the root of all of it is an underserved community and people who really, through unfortunately no fault of their own, don't get fair and equitable treatment in this nation, even in 2025.
And did you say the number of what there was and what it's come down to?
There was originally 100 at its height, 134 black banks in this nation. We're down to 27.
Yeah, it just again reminds me when we get to talking about institutional racism and DEI and all that, and the reasons why you're looking for representation, you need to look no farther than that. And we can look at other areas too, black owned farms and other things. But I think it was important that you called that to our attention. We're talking to Earl Ingram from the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. Find it over at civicmedia.us. Click on shows to learn more. And in one of your most recent ones here, Earl, you are talking on the subject of education and, you know, what it is about Milwaukee public schools. How do you get to the heart of what is the problem and what it is that we can do to make the Milwaukee school district stronger?
Well, Milwaukee Public Schools has a budget of over $1.3 billion. That is equivalent to the entire budget of Milwaukee County. So when we hear people say that there's not enough money in the district, it's not true. The money, unfortunately, goes towards benefits and salaries of many people inside of the district. The population of Milwaukee Public Schools, when I was a young boy, was 115,000. It is now down to under 60, and yet we still have the same amount of school buildings. We still have a budget that continues to increase, but at the root of it is benefits, and at the root of that is insurance costs, because, you know, while everybody else has to pay and struggle with insurance costs, Milwaukee Public Schools and the MTEA continue to get basically Cadillac and lifelong insurance that covers, even after they're Medicare eligible, they have these policies, these Cadillac policy, insurance policies, that continue, and they're unwilling to yield on that. And so money that should be used to educate children continue to go towards retiree benefits.
That is, to me, so stunning to hear that there's similar facilities despite the population shifts. And it just gives that opportunity to again say that, I mean, we sound like massive cheerleaders for public education, because I am. That's why. But that does not mean, and please do not confuse that to mean, that everything is okie dokie and perfect and that public school districts can do no wrong. No, the baseline has to be a good quality education, but you have to have a certain level of accountability, not necessarily hostility like we see in the state capitol, but accountability at these school districts is extremely important, Earl.
Yeah, absolutely. And so at the root of what I'm attempting to do with the guest and a series of podcasts dealing with education is peel back, you know, the onion and realize that even though I'm a supporter of Milwaukee Public Schools, these are taxpayer dollars. And at a time when the taxpayers are struggling, we should make sure that we do everything within our power to not have school buildings that were built to house 2,000 or more students when I was a young boy going to Milwaukee to public schools, to now having 300 kids in a building that houses 2,000.
Yeah.
And saying we can't shut it down. Come on.
Come on is exactly right. So to hear more of that discussion on the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast, head over to civicmedia.us, click on shows, and learn more. Earl, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the visit.
Talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Still along the way, we're going to be talking to Leslie Dock, the national president of Protect Our Care. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio is Margaret Winter of MediQuest, and your company really helps people with Medicare and Medicaid questions, but you also help people with Social Security questions. Tell us a little bit about that and how that's different from what you do with MediQuest, and maybe it's all part of it. Explain that a little bit more.
It is somewhat integrated. I've chosen to become an RSSA, which is a registered Social Security analyst, which gives me the background and training to assist people with their Social Security claiming strategies.
Okay. So understandably, the federal government is trying to make things a lot easier for people to access their information online. But for a generation of older adults who didn't grow up with online services, my parents still have an issue with trying to run a remote control for a TV. Sometimes I do as well. But to navigate online, to try to do all this identification, verification, having email set up, oh my goodness, how can you help these people?
Well, it just so happens that in the next few weeks, we have a collaboration between the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Hayward Community Library, the Senior Center, and myself. And what we're going to be doing is offering a tutorial for individuals to come and learn how to establish their Social Security account or their SSA.gov account.
Okay, so walk us through some of the more important steps of that. What do they need in order to do that?
Well, the first thing that individuals need is a valid email address that they can access. And we will have some portable devices available, but we ask people to bring a portable device other than a smartphone, if possible, that can connect to the internet and receive an email verification.
Why not a mobile device?
Well, mobile devices will work, but people sometimes have a hard time seeing the screen unless they can enlarge it. So that's why we're asking if somebody has an iPad or a laptop, that may work a little bit better.
Yeah, right. And like you said, there is some technologies at the library that people can access and use even after your workshop is over, because the library has several computer terminals. But again, it's not very convenient. It's not at their home. It's not in their car where they can access that. But you're right. I know, just trying to get people to do things on their phone, I keep telling them, let's go open up a laptop. I can see much more things with that, and a lot more security questions can be answered and things like that. So anyways, we've established that we have an email address. What else would we have to do?
Really, that is the only piece that you need to bring with you to the tutorial. We're going to help you establish your account. Now, granted, we're not going to be doing the work for you. We're offering a tutorial to help you establish your account.
Yeah.
And it starts with an email address. A password needs to be set up. You'll need to take a front and back photo of your driver's license or other government-issued ID, and also a selfie.
Okay. Well, and those things you can do with your cell phone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Those that part of it is easier using a cell phone than it is a laptop, but we'll have access to a phone to be able to do that with as well.
Okay. How long should this process take an average person with some background knowledge of online setting things up online?
As long as the Social Security Administration has your correct address, a correct phone number associated with your account, and your credentials, i.e. your Social Security number and birth date, are correct, it shouldn't take more than 20 or 25 minutes.
Okay. So driver's license is all that's needed? No birth certificate, anything like that?
Nothing like that.
Okay.
We are offering this actually on the first day of the annual enrollment period for individuals, because information that is on their Social Security account may help us better determine what Medicare plans they need, and also what know how to say that, because really, if people are going to start claiming their Social Security, so let's say you wanted health insurance, you're not Medicare age yet, but you're drawing Social Security, but you don't quite know what the amount is that you're receiving. We can go on SSA.gov, get all the amounts, because income truly determines your premium when you're under 65.
Yeah.
So all of this, and that's the reason why I decided to do it on the first day of annual enrollment, because that way people, it'll push them to want to learn how to do this, and it's a timely topic.
Yeah, very timely. And again, as we've talked about, the federal government is moving to be more efficient and away from paper everything.
Yes.
And in-person everything. And it will be so much easier and nicer, if not just for the person who's applying for Social Security and wants to know that information, or Medicare or Medicaid. Having this all online will be so much nicer and more efficient, and I won't have to go to a federal office building and have an appointment with somebody that I can't see.
And you can't.
Yeah.
Literally, you can't. Oh. There's no one there that will teach you how to do this.
Yeah.
So that's why we're offering it as an educational community service, because it's needed.
Yep. What was the number for people to reach you again? Because I'm sure you're going to get some calls.
715-392-3123.
All right. Thank you, Margaret. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
An information session will be held today to access your Social Security account, look at all the tools available on your account, and powerful ways to utilize your account. This information is hosted by Margaret Winter and will be held at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library today from 10 until noon. Again, this Social Security information session will be at the Hayward Library today from 10 until noon. There'll also be another session available on Saturday, October 18th, from 10 a.m. until noon at the Hayward Library. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Justice is warning residents that cybersecurity attacks are becoming more common, in part thanks to the growth of artificial intelligence. At a hearing last week, DOJ officials and cybersecurity experts from Microsoft and Google warned that the use of generative AI is making it easier for hackers to attack government databases, which hold valuable personal information about residents. They also say Wisconsin's cyber response data team has seen a 60% increase in cybersecurity incidents over just the last 2 years. The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau is warning residents to be on the lookout for healthcare scams as open enrollment season gets underway. According to agency officials, scammers will contact residents during the open enrollment period, claiming they can help them find the best deal for their healthcare. The scammers then request personal information from their potential victim, including their Medicare ID or Social Security number. Agency officials are warning residents to be wary of unsolicited calls during the open enrollment period. Xcel Energy officials are warning residents of a notable increase in their natural gas prices this year. According to company officials, residential natural gas customers will see their monthly bill increase by about 15%. For the average customer, the rate hike will see their natural gas bill increase from about $112 to about $129. Xcel Energy officials say about half of the increased cost is due to the higher cost of natural gas, and the other half is a result of an increase in infrastructure and other related costs. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez visited Douglas County this week as part of her 72-county Rolling with Rodriguez tour. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez was in Superior on Monday, speaking with local residents about their concerns ahead of the 2026 election and her plans to address them. Rodriguez was the first candidate to enter the Democratic primary field for governor, a field that has grown to include other high-profile Democrats like State Senator Kelda Royes, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and State Representative Francesca Hong. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift has gotten tons of attention lately, first for having the number one movie and number one album in America, and then for showing up at her first Chiefs game since her engagement to Travis Kelce was announced, making her pretty much the first lady of the Kansas City Chiefs. But if anyone saw the recent Us Weekly, they would know that Taylor's got some stiff competition, as the headline read, "Brittany Mahomes rocks white shirt and denim while kissing Patrick Mahomes at Chiefs game," and you thought it was a slow news week. If you actually take time out to read the article, she also had a red handbag and let her long blonde locks fall in soft waves. Damn, I've been trying to break that story for weeks. But if you thought that was juicy, Us Weekly recapped two of Britney's Instagram posts. That's right, folks. In America, you have the option of reading about social media posts a couple days later as opposed to reading them hot off the send button. And if all that fails, you can listen to someone make fun of the posts and the article in my Hollywood Beats. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies and cool today with highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, a few showers possible after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s. On Thursday, showers likely, a rumble of thunder possible as well, with highs in the lower 60s. Currently, it's 44.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Exactly 1 hour from right now, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining Jane Matinair and Greg Bach for Matinair on Air. Matinair on Air follows us every weekday, 9 to 11, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk now about the government shutdown, and it really is that simple. It's about health care. It's about affordable health care and whether certain cuts and price increases are, you know, enshrined and take hold, or if some of those can be undone so that health insurance coverage remains affordable to Americans. That's what's at the heart of all of this. And the group Protect Our Care has been working on this issue for well over a decade now. The national chair of the group, Leslie Dock, is with us right now to talk more about it. Leslie, good morning. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me. Talk about this incredibly important issue that's about to slam Wisconsinites in their pocketbooks and worse.
Yeah. Now, when we talk healthcare, we can talk about several different things. There's the way that the, you know, the big bloated boondoggle from the Trump budget. I mean, there are ways in it that harm Medicare. There's, of course, the $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts. But then there's also the expiration of these enhanced tax credits, so that people who buy policies through the Affordable Care Act marketplace, so those policies are a bit more affordable. At the heart of this, Leslie, is simply that. It's what are Democrats saying that they want in return for votes that would help Republicans pass a bill that opens up the government?
What they're saying is that, and what they are saying is what the American people believe, that healthcare in America should be affordable. Republicans are refusing to come back to Washington and do the nation's business. They control all three parts of the government, the House, the Senate, and obviously the presidency. They could fix this any day they wanted to, but instead they won't even show up for work. The House of Representatives hasn't been in Washington for weeks. The Democrats are there. Republicans even refuse to come to the office. And as a result, there will be hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin who will face agonizing choices about whether or not they can afford their health care. And, you know, this is an economic issue for people. We all know in our families, when somebody gets sick, it takes over the kitchen table. And imagine having to face a serious illness, knowing that you can't afford to see a doctor. But that's what the Republicans have chosen to do. Let's remember that these are the same folks who are giving a $4 trillion tax cut to the big corporations and the richest of the rich. But when it comes to hardworking Americans, they won't even come to the office.
Won't even. And that tells you the fact that they're actually looking to exacerbate the pain that Americans are feeling should tell you something about where their priorities and where their values are. Now, there's an interesting distinction here that I think would help more people understand what's at stake. It's the notion of things that were temporary, either being made permanent or at least being extended. So you mentioned the $4 trillion tax cut geared toward the very wealthy. Those are the 2017 tax cuts from Trump's first term. They were slated to expire at the end of this year or next year, and Republicans insisted on extending those and making many of them permanent. Now it's Democrats who want to make something either permanent or extended, and it's the enhanced tax credits. So, I mean, there's really no big mystery here, Leslie, that both parties see things that they would like to see extended. Republicans got what they wanted, but they won't even negotiate with Democrats for what they want.
Well, yeah, and I hate even to put this in the party lines in that way, because we're talking about the economics, well-being, and matters of life and death for American families who are going to see staggering increases because of this. You know, if you're, I'm just looking up a number here. If you're a 60-year-old couple in Wisconsin and you make $82,000 a year, as an example, your premium costs are going to increase by $20,000. Now, that's a staggering blow to people. And, you know, the fact is, just the service on the debt that the Republicans are forcing Americans to pay in order to have that massive tax cuts for the rich is larger, is a larger dollar amount than it would be to make sure that these help for middle class Americans doesn't go away. So, you know, it's not about the money. It's just that they believe people, hardworking people, should have to do everything on their own and lose their health care. And the other reason why I think it's important to be, yes, it's a partisan divide. Yes, in Washington, D.C., Republicans refuse to do it and Democrats are fighting for it. But in America, in the heartland, it is a totally bipartisan issue. 74% of Republicans want these want this economic help to come back. So this is not, shouldn't be seen as, it's really Republicans in government versus real Americans.
Yeah, and we got into this discussion earlier this morning about the, what I would label as amnesia, about what things were like before the Affordable Care Act. And I reminded folks that a 2008 poll among many showed that 82% of Americans wanted the system overhauled. So yes, while my last question was through a partisan frame, you're absolutely right to point out that Americans have known since well before the Affordable Care Act that our healthcare system needs to be more focused on the people rather than the, you know, the profits and the politicians. So it definitely sounds like the work that you're doing has the vast majority of Americans on your side.
Without doubt. And, you know, it's really, you can't even explain it to people. I mean, why would people do this? Why would they refuse to come to work? Why would they raise healthcare costs for hardworking people to the point where they're going to have, where, you know, in Wisconsin alone, over 100,000 people will probably lose their insurance completely because they can't afford it, and make believe that that's something that the American people want.
We are talking with Leslie Dock. He's the national chair of Protect Our Care, about the stakes in this for all Americans, frankly. I know that people would like to say, well, this is just about people who are on the Affordable Care Act. But as we remember from, again, pre-2010, if you're going to increase the number of uninsured Americans, and that's what these price hikes are going to do, if you increase the number of uninsured Americans, they're still going to get care. So that's still, now it's going to be uncompensated care. And then we all end up paying the premiums. I mean, Leslie, you know all this. It's just, it's a weird sense of deja vu from what we had in this country prior to 2010.
Yeah. And look, the fact is that Americans, you know, they were skeptical of the Affordable Care Act at the beginning, but now they overwhelmingly support it. But Republicans just want to play politics with this. And, you know, no one can really have a, there's no reason. You know, they throw that money away to big corporations any chance they can get. Yeah. But they won't do that for real people. I want to mention one date, because November 1st is when the open enrollment for ACA insurance starts. And that's the date by which when enrollees go to the website and want to have insurance for next year, they will see the staggering prices that they're going to have to pay. This will be amazing. And just put yourself in the shoes all of us have in one way or another. If it's not us, we've had a relative or a family member. And now what they want to do, who is relying on quality care, and now they just want to take it away. See you later.
It's funny that you talk about quality care, because we do get people that say, well, you know, before the Affordable Care Act, there were more options and premiums were lower. And I felt the need to remind people early in the program, and I'll do it again right now. Yeah, there were lower premiums. There were more policies. And you know what? A lot of them were junk. And if you never needed them, well, then you didn't know. You just thought, oh, health insurance is cheap. But man, how many horror stories, Leslie, did we see of people who thought, I've never needed healthcare before. I've always paid my premiums. And now I find out that after years of paying premiums, they're denying me coverage. That was the way it was.
Pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
You know, you had a bad cough, they could deny you coverage. You know, you were born with something and you took, you know, you stayed in the ICU when you were a baby, your whole life, they can deny you coverage. So, you know, these are things that look, the healthcare system is not perfect. It's too expensive. We all agree. But instead of trying to make it better, these folks want to take it backwards, and they want to take Americans along with them.
And it continues to be a mystery of why they would want to do that, because, again, the whole point of governance is that you take something and you make it better. Instead, we've heard repeal and replace, but there was never a replacement. And I guess I would simply still ask the president, how you doing with those concepts of a plan? Because he was asked point blank in the debate, what's your replacement? Do you have a plan? And he says, well, I have concepts of a plan. Well, where's that plan? And we're still waiting. You're not hearing anything new about a new plan from the Republicans, right?
Well, we're living their plan.
That's true. Yes.
They have a plan.
Yeah.
It's to take healthcare away from millions of Americans and make it unaffordable for many more. So they got a plan. I mean, don't give them the credit of being dumb.
We are talking to Leslie Dock, who's the national chair of Protect Our Care. And so in bringing this to a conclusion, Leslie, what is it that you'd like folks to do? Because I know people have been, they'll be at No Kings rallies this weekend talking about the cuts to Medicaid and Medicare.
Yeah.
But if when it comes to the enhanced tax credits, is that the thing that you would want people to call their congressman and tell them to, you know, protect and extend?
Yes, it's, you know, because it has this impending deadline, but we're still going to have fights next year on Medicaid and on Medicare. But this one is the one I think that's right in front of us now. And I think also, you know, look at Wisconsin and the people. You have one senator, Senator Baldwin, who's crisscrossing the entire state to build support for maintaining and not take for you know, not taking away these tax credits. And then you have people like Van Orden and your other senator, who's going nameless, but Ron Johnson, who won't even go, you know, Van Orden won't even go to work. So so the thing to do is we have to convince those Republicans that this isn't about some weird ideology that they have. This is about the life and death of millions of Americans and their economic stability as well.
Yeah. Leslie Dock is the national chair for Protect Our Care, which continues to be highly outspoken on these topics. And of course, we've talked to Joe Zepecki many a time here in Wisconsin about that. And Leslie, we really appreciate you joining us again to talk about things from a national standpoint and giving us those Wisconsin figures as well. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the visit and have a great day.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, that's Leslie. And we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki, of course, tomorrow morning, as we do every week, surely about matters related to Protect Our Care and the aforementioned No Kings rallies that I talked about coming up after the break. I'm going to start to review some of them. There's 85 of them. I'm not going to get to all of them. Maybe. Well, maybe so. Let me go take a big drink of water, wet my whistle, and see if we can get you linked up with a place somewhere in your area code that you might want to attend this weekend and let people know what you think about the current state of politics today. I'm Pat Coitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Can Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Remember, you can read more of what we do at Up North News by signing up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. And click on subscribe up in the top banner. Subscribe to our daily newsletter that Ellie Bordeaux puts together Monday through Friday. And then my Sunday politics newsletter as well. We'd love to have you on board. As a subscriber, head over to the website to do just that. All right. Well, all across the country are going to be rallies again. And you heard Earl Ingram talking about them earlier this hour because they were held originally. Was it May? I don't remember now, but we had rallies all across the country. The Trump administration had only been in office for 3-4 months, but it was already looking like things were going to be going off the rails, and there were people that wanted to express themselves. Well, since that time, a whole lot more has happened, and a whole lot more people would like to express their thoughts on what it's like to have a president that sends troops into the streets, masked troops that do not have warrants, making arrests, kidnapping people right off the streets, disappearing them, making decisions on not funding things based on political party. We have members of Congress who are getting people fired because they want to deny them their freedom of speech to give an opinion on something or somebody that they happen to disagree with. We have somebody who unilaterally is putting tariffs in place willy-nilly. You never know which day it's going to be. Congress is supposed to have an oversight role about this, but they, of course, abdicated all of that. You've got all the grift that's going on, the billions of dollars that's gone into Donald Trump's pockets since he became president because of the rampant corruption. It's no wonder people want to maybe express themselves again. And again, what comes of this? What comes of this is people understanding that they're not alone in saying, this is not normal. We should not normalize this. And by the way, this happened another time. There's one other note from today's history lesson that I haven't told you about yet, but it was on this day, October 15th, 1969, that there were massive demonstrations across the country. It was called the Moratorium to End the War in Vietnam. And on October 15th, 1969, people all across the country marched in big cities and in small cities to make the point that we are sick of what we are seeing. Did it end the war the next day? No. Did it help lead to an end of the war? Yes. Because when enough Americans get together to express themselves in that way, it moves politicians. They do. They know who's calling their offices, not who, but they know how many people are calling their offices to express an opinion on this or that. And when they see the pendulum swing like that, they move along. And so that's why you're going to see a healthy turnout at places, and maybe some of them are close to you. Now, I don't know that I can get to all 85 of these in about 3 minutes, but let me tell you about some of them. I made a list basically up and down Wisconsin, left to right, top to bottom. So I'm starting in Superior, where they'll be at the Douglas County Courthouse at noon. In Bayfield, across from Seagull Bay at 10 a.m. There will be a Washburn one at 10 a.m. Ashland and Pearson Plaza at noon. Brule near the post office at noon, Hayward at Democracy Corner at noon, Spooner at noon, Siren, I love Siren, Siren at the traffic light, Siren at the traffic light, 10 a.m. on Saturday, Rice Lake across from Marketplace Foods at 10 a.m. Over to Eagle River, they'll be in Wall Street Square at 11 a.m. In Minocqua at Veterans Park at 11 a.m. Saturday. In Phillips at the Price County Courthouse at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. In Rhinelander at Pioneer Park at noon. Let me pause here to say, you don't have to be writing these down. If you forget one, they're all at one website. No Kings. These are the No Kings rallies. NoKings.org. As I was saying, in Amory at Soo Line Park at noon. Ladysmith has one at 9 a.m. River Falls at the Public Library at 11 a.m. Menominee in Wilson Park at 2 p.m. In Chippewa Falls at the Peace Circle at 4 p.m. Eau Claire starts at 10 a.m. If you don't hear me give a location in a city, chances are there was a No Kings rally this spring, and I've been told that it'll be at the same location, even if they forgot to make note of it here. In Medford, across from the Farmers Market at 9 a.m. Saturday, Antigo at noon, Marinette Menominee, Stevenson Island Park at 11:30 Saturday morning, Shawano at Franklin Park at 11 a.m. In Wausau, the rally starts at noon, and Prescott, it starts at 9 a.m. In Marshfield, it starts at noon. In Juddville, up in Door County, the rally gets started at 2 p.m. In Algoma, Legion Park at 11 a.m. Stevens Point at 11 a.m. In Pepin, the Laurel Ingalls Wilder Park at 11 a.m. Green Bay has a rally planned for 3 p.m. Saturday. Black River Falls will be at the BRF Bridge at 11 a.m. In La Crosse, at Java Vino. I'm interested in a place called Java Vino, now that I know there's such a place in La Crosse. Saturday at noon. Sparta at the corner of Wisconsin Street and Black River Street at 11 a.m. Wisconsin Rapids at 10 a.m., Waupaca at 2 p.m., in Manitowoc at Washington Park at 11 a.m., in Wautoma at 11 a.m., in Oshkosh at Hiker Park at 1 p.m. Over to Friendship now, the Adams County Courthouse at noon. Mauston starts at 11:45. Montello at Daggett Memorial Park at noon. Ripon at the Little White Schoolhouse, birthplace of the Republican Party, starts at 11:30 Saturday. Fond du Lac at 9:30. Sheboygan, Peace Park at 1 o'clock. Viroqua, 10 a.m. Reedsburg at the Community Market at noon. Baraboo at 10. Beaver Dam near the Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly at 11 a.m. Does it get more Americana than this? In West Bend, Republican as all get out West Bend, folks are going to gather at the Washington County Government Center at 1 p.m. Richland Center at 1 p.m. Sauk Prairie at the Highway 12 Bridge near Quick Trip at 10 a.m. Little Mazomani has a rally starting at noon. Waterloo at Veterans Memorial Park at noon. And then I can't get to all the rest of them here. We're in the final minute of the show. But Watertown, Oconomowoc, Prairie du Chien, Lancaster, Dodgeville, New Glarus, Albany, Monroe, Janesville, Delavan, Sun Prairie, Middleton, Madison, Monona, McFarland Park, Stoughton, Lake Mills, Cambridge, Fort Atkinson, Oconomowoc, Cedarburg, Brookfield, Waukesha, Muskego, Union Grove, Kenosha, Racine, Mount Pleasant, Greenfield, Shorewood, Cudahy, and Milwaukee, Cathedral Square, 11 a.m., emceed by Earl Ingram. Get out there on Saturday and express yourself peacefully but loudly. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Matinee on Air is next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Happening now in Washington, Democrats are demanding Speaker Mike Johnson swear in the duly elected congresswoman from Arizona, who happens to be the critical vote needed to force a vote on releasing the Jeffrey Epstein files.
If I were a Republican, I would have already been sworn in,
says Congresswoman-elect Adelita Grijalva. The Senate will try for a ninth time today to approve government funding, a reporter calling it Groundhog Day. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
President Trump now says he will reveal a list Friday of, quote, Democrat programs that he will shut down permanently.
We're not closing up Republican programs because we think they work.
Today was the day tens of millions of retirees expected to hear the cost of living raise, but the Social Security data is on hold now. The UN Weather Agency says CO2 in our atmosphere hit a record last year. Growth rates are triple what they were since the 1960s. This is ABC News. Farm.